Do you guys remember that show called Fear Factor? I don't know. It's been a few years since I was on, but I don't know. I think the fascination was, I think we were trying to put ourselves in that situation. Like, would you be okay if you were lying in a little box and they dump a bunch of snakes on you and then they close the box on you? Would you be okay with that? Or just allowing spiders to crawl over you? Some of you are already cringing of that idea right now. Woo! But fear. Fear is probably one of the strongest emotions. It drives people to do some extreme things sometimes. But fear, I'm wondering why the Bible tells us to fear not. Do you realize the scripture has 365 times that it says fear not, one for every day? I think it's to be reminded that we should not be afraid. Fear not. But fear has a way of paralyzing us. Fear has a way of keeping us away. So as we begin this, I think we're only probably two or three more messages in this series, Journey Towards Freedom. Today we're going to talk about why fear prevents you from walking into the land of freedom. Why fear prevents you from walking to the land of freedom. Let's just talk about some other things that you might have be faced with for fear. How many people would be okay? Well, let me put it the other way. How many people would not do skydiving? Raise your hand. I would not do it. Now, for them, some of you are like, I want to show my hand that I would do it. How many people would do skydiving? Oh my, two hands up. Like, you must love roller coasters, skydiving. How about bungee jumping? Come on, you guys are just adrenaline junkies then. That's all you guys are. I look at that and I would be like, no way, count me out. Why? The interesting thing though is it's such a mental thing, because the reality is you are safe. But in our mind, we somehow build these things up to realize that if I were to do this, this defies logic. Like if you just start free falling, even if you bungee jump, you know something's tied. It's like that earth is coming at me very fast. And I'm going to, I'm going to die. But you don't die. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Numbers chapter 14, 13 and 14. We're out of Exodus. Leviticus becomes a lot of the laws that were set up to rule the people. Numbers continues to be the account of the children of Israel moving from Egypt, who were enslaved in Egypt, to God delivering them, to wanting to be God's people, that God wanted to be the provider. He provided manna and quail for them, so he's a provider. He provided direction by the pillar of fire during the day, or a cloud of fire during, sorry, cloud, not a fire, it's not a cloud of fire. The cloud and the pillar of fire, right? One day and night. There it is. The fire, the pillar of fire at night. Get that hour of sleep. Satan be gone, right? My word. Literally, my brain feels like mush right now. Okay. Fire would make sense. It's nighttime, right? You need to see where you're going. So pillar of fire at night, cloud by day. God would lead them. So here we go in the story, though. We're 2.5 years into the thing, probably 2 years, 8 months, into this journey, into the wilderness that God is setting them free. And he says, by the way, I'm giving you a land, a promised land filled with milk and honey. It's going to be a great land. It's going to be the promised land. It's going to be a land that is just going to prosper you. 2 years, eight months into the thing, he says, okay, well, we're going to send 12 spies to go into the land of Canaan and check it out. What transpires, though, earlier in this is you have the, which I would have loved, there'll be a study at some point in time of this, the tabernacle. God establishes a lot of these ceremonial things, and that where God's presence would be in the tabernacle, the tent of God's presence. But here we are now, they're sending out 12 spies. This is what we're going to do. Read in Numbers 13. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the people of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a chief among them. So here they go, 12 spies. Remember, these tribes were originally from the 12 sons of Jacob, who later became his name Israel, and so that's why they're called Israelites. So one from each tribe. Goes on and lists a bunch of names. I'm not going to read all those names. Starting now, going down to verse 17. Moses sent them out, spy out the land of Canaan, and said to them, go up to Negeb and go up to the hill country. See what the land is, and whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, whether they are few or many, and whether the land that they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities that they dwell in are camps or strongholds, and whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are trees or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was for the season of the first ripe grapes. So here Moses is now sending them out, take an assessment. He's saying, go with courage. And here they go. And then they give a report. Verse 25. At the end of the 40 days, they returned from spying out the land. And they came to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the people of Israel in the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh. They brought back word to them that all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him, we came to the land of which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey and its fruit. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong and the cities are fortified, very large. And besides that, we saw the descendants of Anak were there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of Negeb. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the hill country. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan. But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it. Then the man who had gone up with them said, we are not able to go against these people, for they are stronger than we are. So they brought to the people of Israel bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, the land through which you have gone to spy out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all that we saw in it are of great height. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak. It's interesting about, by the way, that comment there, not to digress into it, but there's some interesting studies of understanding who the Nephilim are. There is some thought that maybe the Nephilim are, these are spiritual beings that had relations with human women, and they ended up becoming extreme giants, and that's what the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, have been. There's some theories out there, so don't get bogged down. That's not the point of the story. This is more of an interest. And we seem to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seem to them. A couple things that we need to see here in this land. So they come, they assess it. Well, I didn't read this one part, but basically they went and grabbed some grapes. The one cluster of grapes was so large and so bountiful that they had to carry it on a pole between two men and brought it back. My question is, this is really interesting to think about. Why would God give a promised land, a land that would be set the people free? Why would he give them a promised land filled with opposition and obstacles? Have you thought of that? God could have brought them to a land that there is nothing there. And it could have been a beautiful land filled with milk and honey like this was. But in this land was also obstacles and opposition. Have you thought about when God brings you to places of freedom that he brings you from something? So he released the people from the slavery of Egypt, and he then brought them to a place that would require something of them. And he does that with us in our journey towards freedom. But often I've thought of this and questioned, like, God, why would you do that? Like, that almost seems almost counterintuitive or counterproductive. Interestingly enough, there was 10 spies that gave the bad report, and there were two that were like, let's go after it. How is it that people could see the exact same circumstance or the same, well, they saw the same thing, and two were like full of faith, and 10 were full of fear? We're like grasshoppers. God, did you just bring us out here to kill us? Did you give us this promised land to kill us? And we realize that that maybe, just maybe, God is purposefully giving them an opportunity to once again that God would be his their provider. There's a slide that I want you to see. Have you wanted to do something, but fear kept you from doing it? Did you already see that slide? Was that already up there or no? No, it wasn't up there. All right, we've already gone by that. So let's go to the next slide. Numbers 13 through 14, the spies sent into Canaan. Did we already see that slide? You saw that one? No, you didn't see that one. We've already done that one. Good job, guys. We're moving right along. Next slide. All right, slide number 3. Question that we asked is, why was a land of freedom filled with obstacles and oppositions? We talked about that, right? Did you see that slide yet?
Yes.
Oh, you did. So some of you are shaking your head no. That means you were sleeping during that part, and some of you said yes. So we're all on the same page. We track it now, right? Visuals are good. Here we go. This is why. When we come to a place of pursuing the things that God has for us, and by the way, the things that God has for you are great. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for your good, to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. God's plans for you are good, but guess what? In these places of good plans, this land of freedom that God has for you, there will be in that land, in that future spot for you, opposition and obstacles. And again, you're saying, why? But here's the thing. First of all, I want to talk about what happens when we face that opposition, obstacles. Why do we get discouraged? Why do we let fear enter in? I think the first part of it is, you'll see this slide, is unmet expectations drives disappointment. The interesting thing is after they got disappointed, they said in chapter 14, in verse 4, it says, and then they started speaking against Moses. Well, let's read this. Chapter 14, then all the congregation raised out a loud cry, and the people wept that night, and all the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we have died in this wilderness? Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become a prey. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to one another, let us choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Unmet expectation. I think if we can understand that God's preferred future for you and I is going to be met with opposition and obstacles, we're going to be better off when we understand that. God doesn't promise us this land without any challenges in it. And I'll tell you, we're going to go into this deeper. We're going to go into the why of that. But the first, before they even went into the promised land, before they even like decided to have courage, they met that opposition and they got the report. And by the way, when people start talking negatively, it's like a cancer that runs through. I would just encourage you, if you ever hear somebody talking negatively about things, and so I heard this, and this is da-da-da-da, ba-da-da-da, you just said, whoa, 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 stop, stop, stop. Can we just take that to the Lord? Can we just look at what God is doing? Because God is working something for our good. But as long as we start seeing things in a negative way, and we start getting disappointed, unmet expectations. See, I think in their mind they said, hey, God is setting us free. Not only was he our provider of quail and bread and guiding us to where it was, they thought that somehow this promised land was not going to be met with obstacles and opposition. Isaiah 55 says this, 55:8-9. All right, you're going to look that up by yourself because I don't have that written down. Isaiah 55:8-9, you want to look that one up. The next thing is fear of the unknown steals your ability to pursue freedom. Fear of the unknown. The spies came back. You had two who saw giants, who saw fortified cities, and they understood that God was more than able. The 10 started looking at their own abilities, looking at their own strength, looking at their own circumstances, and started crumbling under the thought that they were not going to measure up. And fear started to come in. And fear of the unknown steals your ability to pursue freedom. I think that's why in Hebrews 13 it says, it says this, Hebrews 13. For he said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? See, I believe that the two spies that realized that God was going to be their strength and their shield and their warrior for them approached it in that way. He says, he will never leave us or forsake us. After all, God was our provider in the wilderness. He provided the manna. He provided the quail. He led us this direction. He provided all those miracles to get us free from Egypt. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. And what can man do to me? I think sometimes we think that death is the ultimate fear. Like, I can't do that because I'm going to die. Do you realize that death is actually not the worst thing that can happen to you? Death without faith is the worst thing that can happen to you. And I think sometimes we are so afraid to get uncomfortable. We're so afraid of the possibility of something that might not go right. And I know we're talking about a physical thing here, but all of this is this journey towards freedom is very manifested in the physical, but in our world today, it is very much internal. It's not external and physical, it's internal and spiritual. That we realize that when we face these challenges that are in front of us, we see we get faced with these obstacles and opposition, and a lot of those obstacles and oppositions are the same things, that narratives that we play in our mind that says, what is somebody going to say about me? What if I actually don't have what it takes to get free? I've tried that before, and I didn't really get free from that. And you begin to start putting up these roadblocks, and fear starts to come in, and you start believing the fear, and you're not believing in faith that the one who has set you free is able actually to take the land that he's bringing you to, the land of freedom that he's bringing you to, the places of freedom that he wants you to experience and explore. He's bringing you to that place, but it will be filled with opposition and obstacles. We still haven't answered the why. Why does he do that? I think wants us to realize that he wants to provide for us. He does not want us to do it on our own strength. If it meant that we could just wander into a land that was filled with milk and honey, I believe that we would get lost in the relationship that God wanted actually to have with us. We would kind of like, yep, we did it. Yep, we got it. And then we would forget who our provider is, who our deliverer is. Look at this next slide here. Looking at your own strength and resources will not be enough to take you to the places that God wants you to go. I want you to think about that for a moment. For those of you who are self-reliant and self-determined, this is also a very hard one for you, because your self-reliance is going to prevent you from actually submitting to the ways that God wants you to go. The other ones are the ones who are like, look at the obstacles and fear begins to grip you and saying, I don't deserve this. I can't do this. And so it's not only on your own strength, but then it becomes like, I just can't. It still becomes me focused. I just can't. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. See, he was bringing them to this opportunity to take the land, but they were still trusting in their own strength, right? The spies came back and say, we do not have what it takes. So that assessment was correct, because they do not have what it takes, but God has what it takes. I think so many times we get stuck because we start saying, I don't have what it takes. And God is saying, great, I'm glad you acknowledge that. But we don't take it to the next step and saying, but God has all that it takes. See, God wants to be our deliverer. He wants to be our provider. He wants to be the warrior fighting for us. Interestingly enough, after the bad report, that they came back, they started grumbling. Some of them decide, hey, we want to go back to Egypt. And that's what fear does, and that's what unmet expectations do. It puts you in a little bit of a downward spiral, and you sink back into the old habits and the old patterns of living that actually were the very things that God freed you from, because you saw in front of you like something happened that was not what you expected, and unmet expectations. And really what God is saying, if you had proper expectations, which I'm here to create expectations for you, which is, the good places of freedom that God has for you are going to be met with obstacles and opposition, and you don't have what it takes, but God does have what it takes. That will allow you to, when you come into that line of crossing, into that place of freedom, into the land that God has, and now it's like he set you free from the bondage, but now you have to take a land that God is giving you into a greater place, but you have to do it with a sense of strength and faith. And you can't allow fear to grip you, because fear will either make you want to go back, or fear will crumble you and say, I can't do it. And we have to be reminded that we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. Now, the key in some of this is like, you know, I think sometimes, and this will be the next message follow-up on this, because I think sometimes we could do this in a vacuum and just say, I'm going to bolster up all kinds of courage and all kinds of faith, and I'm going to accomplish, and I'm going to conquer, and I'm going to go after this. And I would say that's kind of careless faith, right? I'm not going to address any fear. By the way, sometimes fear is very good. Like, fear prevents us from actually doing things that will actually really hurt you. So I'm not suggesting that we just like need to look at fear in the face and to say, forget you fear. Like, if you step out in front of a moving vehicle that's going very fast, you should be afraid of that, because that will, I can do all things through Christ Jesus. Superman, I'm going to push back the car. I haven't seen many times that God has chosen to free somebody from that situation. But I think the part that we'll be talking about a little bit is making sure that we hear from the voice of the Holy Spirit to do the things that he's calling us to do. See, God had already told Moses to go and inspect the land. So the direction was initiated by God. And so if God initiates it, God is there to provide for it. It's just not coming up with anything that you want and then say, I'm going to look fear in the face, and I'm going to rise with faith and trust, and God's going to more than able, and he's going to do it. But let God speak to it first. Otherwise, you're leading out of presumption. And God doesn't want us to presume. He wants us to hear his voice and respond to his voice with faith and trust. You know, the thing about looking at fear and thinking about trust, and I think it's interesting, and this is another slide, that we trust Jesus with our eternity, but we struggle to trust Jesus with our life. I was trying to reconcile that disconnect. Like, we would say, Jesus, I'm trusting you. I believe that you can save me into all eternity. When I die, that I'll go to heaven, I'm going to trust you with my eternity. But then when it comes to day-to-day things that God's calling us to this land of freedom, then all of a sudden we start getting a little weak-kneed. It's like, well, I don't know if I can. And yet you didn't have a problem making decision that was an eternal decision, but we have a problem with day-to-day decisions of following through in those areas that might be faced with opposition and obstacles. And God's saying, this land that I want to give you, this land of freedom, this place, this good place, really it's an image of this preferred future that God has for you. A place of milk and honey, you know, grandioso fruit. I mean, just like great things in store for you. But you have to see that the obstacles and opposition are God's opportunity to provide for you. It's not the place that you have to come to where you have to say, I've got to like white knuckle it through. I've got to find all my own strength. I've got to be able to just like, he doesn't want you to find your own strength. He wants you to rely on his strength. Charlie, your message today was so great. It dovetailed this and we need to rest in God who is going to be the one who does the battle, who does the work. We just need to walk in obedience to what God is asking us to do. He was saying, hey, go spy out the land and see what you're going to see. I think it gave him an opportunity to say, are you going to crumble over what you see in your eyes and see the giants and see the fortified cities and you're going to see the opposition and the obstacles and are you going to allow fear to take a hold of you? And are you going to look on your own strength? Are you going to say, God, I trust you. If this is the place you're bringing me to, I know that you're more than able to conquer the enemies, to haunt my soul. You're more than able to conquer the narrative of I'm not good enough. I can't do it. God, you don't, I shouldn't be free. Like I can't imagine my life that there's something good in for my life. Or I've tried this before and I couldn't break free from this. And it's just not possible. But God's saying it is possible. Church, I just want to encourage you today that when we hear God's voice and he leads us to this place that he has for us, when you see the obstacles, when you come face to face with the opposition, avoid the temptation to crumble under fear and say, I don't have what it takes. And put a period there. I want you to say, I don't have what it takes, but God has what it takes, and I trust in him. And my faith rises to the occasion. Faith believes in the one who can do the impossible. Faith believes in the one who, if he says it, he will do it. You don't have to have what it takes. You just have to believe in the one who has what it takes. And that's God. That's Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit. The obstacles and opposition is only the opportunity that God wants to give you to realize that he wants to do the work for you. He wants to continue to be your provider. He wants to be your deliverer. He wants to be the warrior in your life. He wants to set you free. So it's okay to not have what it takes. Trust and have faith in the one who does have what it takes, and his name is Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for helping me get through this morning. Wow, that was tough. But Lord, you're good. Your mercies are new every morning. Father, when we falter, when we fail, you remind us of who you are. Kind, gracious, slow to anger, quick to forgive. Father, when we come face to face with this land of freedom that you have for us, this future life that you have planned for us, we now realize that in this land, in this future place, there will be opposition and there will be obstacles, whether spiritual, whether emotional, whether physical. Let us realize, Jesus, that you're calling us to something, which means you want to continue to do the work as our, not only our Father and our Savior, but a Redeemer and Healer. But you're more than able. You're more than a conqueror. Help us to depend on you and not on our own strength. Help us to not crumble under fear and get negative and start, you know, talking negative. Lord, I just realized what took place for them, Jesus, that they started speaking negatively, and it took them 38 more years before they finally could get into the promised land. And the generation that was there couldn't even experience the promised land. Why? Because of the lack of faith, the lack of trust as you, as the provider and the provisioner, as the warrior. Lord, let us not fall short of realizing that not only does it affect our life, but affects the life of people around us if we don't act in faith, if we don't act with trust in who you are. Stir up inside of us, Lord Jesus, courage to look at our opposition and our obstacles with faith and to say, I don't have what it takes, but I know who does. And his name is Jesus. And everybody said, amen.
Thank you so much for watching us online. We're so glad that you joined us. We trust that Jesus has spoken to your heart and you've been challenged by his word. If you'd like to know more information about Grace Capital Church, please visit us at gccnh.com. We'll see you next time.